Well, the Lord bless each one of us this morning. It's good to be home again and with the family of God and the saints. I wrote on the board, a people prepared. And we've been thinking some about that for several weeks. And I want to think about some scriptures. Prepared. It means to get ready for something. To be prepared is to be ready when that time comes. And so the Lord sent John the Baptist along. And when just before Jesus was anointed, and all John the Baptist was preaching that the kingdom of God was close at hand. And it says, Mark 1:1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. You know, We have a lot to do many times with the Lord visiting us. He wanted his people to prepare their hearts. There was a lot of ungodliness going on when the Lord came. It wasn't a perfect situation. The Romans were in rule and power over the Jews, and there was a lot of wickedness and a lot of deceit and hypocrisy among the people of God, if you want to call it that way, the Jews. And Jesus, God sent John the Baptist in the beginning of the gospel, it says, of Jesus Christ, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And so he was crying out. In Matthew 3, it says basically the same thing. And it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that word repent, it means to turn, to have a change of mind. There's a godly sorrow that we need to have to be able to come before God and be forgiven of our sins. And so it says, for this is that which was spoken, by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. If we want to make room for the Lord in our life, then let's prepare him a place. Now, I know the Lord struck Paul down, but I want to tell you something. Paul was doing his best at that time with what he knew, with all the pricks that was coming to his heart. He was endeavoring to do right, wasn't he? He wasn't doing it in a way that was acceptable to God, but the Lord struck him down and taught him the truth, didn't he? Made a minister and one of the writers of the Bible, one of the main ones to us today, out of Paul's life. You know, I'm thinking about a really different line of preparing today. There's battles and temptations of life that come to us. I, for one, long to see the face of the Lord in peace one day. I hope that that day will come and I'll be prepared for that day. The Lord wants us to be prepared for that day. And, you know, in the battles of life and the things that we face, we can win. Did you know that? I think most of us know that. We can win. And the Lord wants us to win. And he wants us to do some preparation so that we can win in the battles of life. There's some things that has to do with you and me and the decisions we make that has a lot to do with whether we make it through those trials and temptations and troubles that come to us in life. You know, I want to just mention this. You remember Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he came and there was 32 kings with him. And the Lord had mercy on Ahab. And he gave him victory and won a wonderful victory. But I'll tell you, the prophet came back to Ahab and he said, you prepare yourself. The Lord had told him, you prepare yourself because he said, this man's coming back. He said, the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And so, because the Lord has given us some wonderful victories in our life, doesn't mean that we're going to win the victories in the future. The devil's going to come again. I hate to tell you that, but I'm glad to tell you so you'll know. I mean, we already know. I know that. But, you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be prepared for those things. And I want to read a little bit about what Jesus told us and what some of the writings in the epistles tell us to be ready for those times so that they don't come on us unawares. In Matthew 7 and 24, Jesus said some things here that, folks, we should take to heart. These are very serious words from the Lord. And he says here, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Do you know that those things are significant? The winds blew. The floods came. The things that wipe buildings off of the earth, the things that tear things down, they came. They came to this wise man. They came to this righteous man. And it says his building stood firm. And you know why the Lord said it stood firm? He said, if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, you know, that's not just a book of do's and don'ts, but it's a book, it's a law of God that he wants to write upon our hearts, that we seek him with all of our heart, that we find the grace of God in our lives. See, we hear that all the time, don't we? That we do the things God said do, that we don't do the things he says don't do. Those things are important to do and not to do. You know, I have seen many times people set themselves up for failure. Is that true? We ever seen anyone set themselves up for failure? I want to tell you, if you begin to falter in the things that you know to do in your Christian life, I want to tell you, if you really want to make it over there in the final chapter, folks, we're going to have to pay attention to every chapter. We're going to have to live for the Lord the way we know that he wants us to live for him today in this chapter. We're going to have to live for him in a way that pleases him well today. And so I just want to encourage all of us this morning. The floods will come. Those things that move buildings off of their foundation and float them down. We went one time to Honduras and we was going to a camp meeting. And to have some time during that time to enjoy some time off there. But just before we went, a hurricane came. And you see all these buildings along the, all these houses just on the ground, pummeled. A lot of them laying flat. A lot of them partially flat. And there was a lot of destruction and damage. And so instead, when we heard of that, we just packed up our tools and a whole bunch from here went. And we built some houses while we were there, some little houses. You know, this morning the Lord is interested in our house withstanding whatever comes our way, because he's promised to not let more come our way than what we could take. But that promise is accompanied with these words where the Lord says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Do you know that the winds are going to blow? You know the winds of confusion? The winds of false ideas and false doctrines and false ways of worshiping the Lord? They are going to blow. Do you know they are going to deceive people? They are going to... And so it is important for us today that we live for the Lord today, like He says. It's important for us to have our sins forgiven. It's important for us to be living godly and holy lives today and reaching out for the Lord to show us His paths and teach us His ways. That's important, isn't it, this morning? Because there's going to come a day when the winds are going to come and the floods are going to come, and they're going to come against our building of God, our building that the Lord has put into our life. And we want to stand, don't we? I'm not one that believes that just because we built a building, we're going to be there one day. Because the scriptures are really plain over and over and over that, folks, if we're going to make it through, we're going to have to stay true to the Lord. And so this other fella, it wasn't... Not everybody built their house on a rock. And it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, they heard too. They heard just like the man that was wise. And it says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. We can have 100 reasons for why we don't obey the Lord, why we don't obey the scripture. And people do. And I've heard them. I've heard those reasonings. This is why. This is why I can't do this. This is why I can't do that. And justified at the same time. Because I can't. Do you know that we can? We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. We can live for the Lord in today's time, in our life, in our chapter today. And it says, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now that seems like a no-brainer. Why would we do them not? Because we're people. That's why. That's why. Because we're people. And if we let the flesh take over, we will hear and we will enjoy the hearing maybe. But we don't do because it takes effort and it takes a death to ourselves and it takes a cross in our life. So let's look to the Lord. Lord, show me your paths and lead me in that way of life everlasting. Life everlasting. And the rain descended, let's see, like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Excuse me. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I'll tell you one of the things I noticed about those houses in Honduras. A lot of them were built on the sand. And when that flood came, there wasn't anything to resist the power of the water. They were unable. At that time, it was too late because they couldn't build on the rock. They were built on the sand. So the Lord help us today. I really believe, and I just put this in my notes, obedience to the Lord today prepares us for victory tomorrow. Let's take that into our hearts. Obedience to the Lord today prepares us for victory tomorrow. The Lord's promised us victory. Do you know that? Did you know that He has promised us victory in our lives? He has promised that there would not be anything that is greater than He that is within us. He that is within you is greater than He is in the world, isn't it? So let's look a little bit and get a few pointers maybe from the Lord. Over here in James 1 and 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. You know, this morning, temptation is going to come our way, isn't it? Trials are going to come our way, and they are going to tempt our mind to draw back or to take another way, or whatever it may be. I want to encourage us this morning. The scriptures tell us, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And so I've been thinking for weeks, Lord, how is it that we can be successful enduring and resisting temptation all through our life? Because I don't ever want to fall. Who wants to fall? I don't. I don't think most of you do. We want the Lord to take us through, don't we? And the time of temptation, folks, is a very difficult and dangerous place, isn't it? If we don't think so, let's look at some of the main characters in the Bible. Let's look at Adam, that knew God. God made him. He formed him. He talked to him. He gave him a place. He came down in the cool of the evening and talked to him. You think Adam didn't know the Lord? I want to tell you, that's a big mark for me. I'm not ahead of Adam. If Adam had to be careful, I got to be careful. I want to win the race. Don't we want to win the race this morning? Don't we want to hear him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? That's what we want to hear, isn't it? We don't want to hear people telling all these things that we've done. We want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We long for that, don't we? But you know, there was Adam and Eve and David and Balaam. Do you know that Balaam, the donkey talked to Balaam, do you know he was a man of God? You know he was a prophet? But he started fiddling around and messing with the temptation of the enemy when he should have drawn a line. The Lord said, and that's it. The Lord said. You know, that's what Eve should have said. The Lord said. And that's kind of what she said to start with, isn't it? But she started this dialogue with Satan. And I want to encourage us this morning to have no dialogue with Satan. It's okay to just shun him. It's okay to resist him. It's okay to rebuke him. It's necessary, in fact. The Lord wants us to make it through. And I want to tell you, we have a whole catalog of people who did. You remember Joseph? Who was tempted more than Joseph? Can you imagine spending all those years in prison and in a foreign country and in foreign hands as a slave and not have bitterness toward your folks? I want to tell you something. That amazes me. And then on top of that, the devil tempted him in other ways too. And yet he remained faithful. You know, he was faithful in the little things. When he was a child, he was a faithful. From everything we read, Joseph was a faithful young man. I want to tell you, if you want to be ready for the trials of tomorrow, then be faithful. In however small or however great the battle is today, let's decide, I'm going to be faithful to what I know God wants me to do. I'm going to be faithful. I don't care what it cost me up to my life. I want to be faithful. And so, Joseph made it through, didn't he? Job made it through, didn't he? Do you know, though, that we have seen some history about these fellas? We have some history about Job. You know, before he ever got into those trials, you know what God's testimony of Job was? He's a perfect man. This is one that eschews evil. And you know, and he served the Lord with all of his heart, didn't he? Now, it didn't mean he was perfect in the sense that in the human he never made a mistake. But his whole heart was set to serve God. And he served him, didn't he? Job, in his day, God said, was a perfect man. And so, you know, this morning, Job was prepared for that trial. How? Because he was faithful. That's all. What did Job do? Job was faithful with all that he had. He gave to the poor. He was faithful in the smallest areas of his life. And when God called upon him to testify to the grace of God to the world for 3,000 years after, or however many, he was ready, wasn't he? Three or four, whatever, however many thousand. Job was a faithful man. And so, you look at Daniel. Here was a young man. He was a slave. Did you know that? Daniel was a slave. They took him from his homeland. They took him off to Babylon. And there he served King Nebuchadnezzar. And he served several other kings. But I want to tell you something about Daniel. He was faithful when he was a young man. He was faithful before the battle came where they said, you either stop praying or we're going to put you in the den of lions. He gladly chose the den of lions. But see, that wasn't his first battle. That wasn't where he began or ended. And so this morning, let's remember something. Folks, if you want to make it to heaven, then the thing to do is serve the Lord right now with all of our hearts. Is that all right? Serve the Lord right now. It's pretty simple stuff, isn't it? It's just not always easy. It wasn't easy for Daniel to move to that foreign land and not be bitter against that king. But you know, if Daniel would have had an attitude and an anger and a bitterness in his heart, I don't believe God would have ever been able to use him like he did. But Daniel, I believe, just loved God. Three times a day, it says he opened his window and he prayed toward the east. He prayed out there. He knew where the temple had been. And he prayed there. And so he was a faithful young man. And then, of course, we have others, the three Hebrew children. You know, I don't think that was their first battle, was it? You know, there was a time where the king wanted them all to eat his meat. But you know, these faithful young men wanted to do it God's way. They didn't want, even in the small things. And so when the time came for them before this great 90-foot-high idol of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up and said, you will all bow down before this or I will cast you into the fiery furnace. Sometimes that's our choice. And you know what they said? Oh, king, we're not careful to answer you. You know, I'll give you another chance. We don't need another chance. We're not going to bow down to that idol. Our God won't let us do that. Were they ugly? No, they weren't ugly. They were just firm. They knew what they needed to do, and they did it at the cost of their lives. This morning, God's looking for people to take to heaven. He's looking for people that will say yes to the Lord. That's what he's looking for. He'll supply the grace. He'll supply the help. He'll deliver us from the temptations if we'll take his way. So the Lord help us today. Of course, we have Jesus' example too. And there's a whole catalog of those who made it through. Abraham. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto all thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Do you know that the Lord is calling for you and me to fight a good fight of faith? He's calling for us to be a strong plant, not in ourselves, but from the grace of God. I want to tell you, as a gardener, I'm speaking my wife's stead there. But you know what? The plants that do best are ones that stay healthy. I want to encourage us not to let our minds wander to things that will get us off track from serving and pleasing the Lord. Let not our minds wander to the things and the values of this earth and the things that people go after on this earth. Plants resist diseases and insects many times better when they're strong. Did you know that's the best stuff you can spray on them? Give them a good soil matter. Keep them watered good. Don't let them get weak. The Lord wants us to stay strong. And folks, it takes an endeavoring all the days of our life. Not just when we got saved. The trip to the altar is a wonderful thing. It's a beginning, isn't it? Or a new beginning, or whatever, or another nudge. But folks, the Lord wants us to stay strong in His will. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. I want to look at a few other places, several other places. James 1, we read the scripture. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. But I want to look at the following scriptures from 13 to 16. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, listen to these words, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust or strong desires. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own strong desires and enticed. How does that work? We'll look at the story of Eve in a minute, a little bit. You know, she was drawn, wasn't she? She could have cut that off. She could have and should have said, there's no conversation between me and you, Satan. This is what God said, and that's enough. Because his intent was not to try to find truth. His intent was to deceive her, and he did that. Because she listened to him. So we are drawn away by our own desires. You know, this flesh has desires, doesn't it? The devil wants to take good desires and pervert them. He wants to change them. We all have a desire to do well in life. We all have a desire to have enjoyments in life, don't we? We all have a desire to have good relationships and close relationships. You know, the devil just takes all those things. What he does is he takes those desires and he channels them another way. I'm pretty sure that Eve enjoyed the Garden of Eden. I'm pretty sure that she enjoyed it a lot. But maybe there came a time where she started thinking about that one thing she couldn't have. She kept thinking about that. Strong desires, see, enjoyment, food, good to take. That's the way it's presented to us here. You know, and so I'm pretty sure that she had a good situation to start with. Good enough. I'd say it was good enough, Garden of Eden, wouldn't you? I'd be all right there, I think. But she wasn't, because there was something she could not partake of. And those desires that came to her that she should have killed. I'm really talking a lot about temptation this morning and trials. Those things that she should have cut off. Instead, why did she go by that tree? I know it was in the midst of the garden. But why did she go by there? Why didn't she say, no, that's a temptation to me. I'm going to take another route. I'm sure she didn't have to go by that very place. Do you know this morning, God has made a way for us, a way of escape. He said that. He's made a way of escape for us to stay true to Him. And so, it goes on to say here in James, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived and he gives into it, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, some way the devil deceived Eve to think that wouldn't be the case. You surely won't die. But she did die, didn't she? She died spiritually that day. And she was driven out of the garden. And she died physically from that. So this morning, let's remember that Satan is going to appeal to your flesh. I really feel like the Lord's been dealing with me for several weeks about this message. And I don't know exactly why, but I want to encourage us this morning, each one, to get our part. Because it's God's word, it's not my word, it's God's word. And so, the end of this reading here in James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. He was writing to brethren here. He said, don't err. Don't err. Remember something. It's your strong desires of your flesh and mind that's going to draw you out. That's where the devil works. And that's where the line should be with us. Cut him off. Cut him off. Now, I know there's things we can't always help getting into. It just happens in life. But that's when the Lord tells us, the man that's been serving me, when that time comes, he'll still be there when it's over. He'll still be on the solid rock when it's over. So let's read over here in 2 Timothy 2. I want to talk to us about a few things this morning. You know, there are temptations that are different to some degree with different age groups. There really are. And so Paul tells Timothy here, he says, flee also youthful lust. What is a youthful lust? What is youthful lust? It's the things that youth is drawn out after. You fill in the blanks that you know are there. It's the things, the carnal pleasures, the things that don't please God. The things that please God that given too much take away from our spiritual life. That's all things. It's the temptations of sensual pleasures. You know, there's a especially strong temptation as a youth many times to those sensual desires and all those things. I want to see what Paul has to say about them. You know what pride, ambition, some of that comes later a lot of times. Some of it starts with youth too, of course. But it's there. But you know what Paul said? Did you catch the word? Flee also youthful lust. Young folks, I want to tell you something. There's a place to run. Don't try to get in the middle of a bunch of friends doing things and going places that you know are not healthy spiritually and expect to stand. Because I want to tell you something. That's not where God supports you. Now, you might make it through a time or two. But I want to tell you something. You play with fire a little bit, you'll get burned. And so it says to flee. You know what that word means in the Greek? Seek safety by flight. Seek safety by flight. You know, he doesn't say, put up the sword, get your sword out and take your shield. He says, just get out of there. Don't get in the place. Don't go there. If it's going to tempt you, get rid of it. Well, yeah, but Jesus said if you got to cut your hand off, cut it off. Now, he's not talking physically. He was bringing something. If it's that important to you, get rid of it. If it bothers you and it's going to take your salvation or it's going to tempt you in ways, pluck your eye out. That important to you? My eye's pretty important. I've been having trouble in this left eye. You know what? It's important to me. I don't want to have trouble like that. I want to tell you something. Those things are important. Jesus says, pluck them out if you have to. Flee. Run from that place. Put distance between you. But he doesn't just say that. Read the rest of the scripture. What does it say to us? It says, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says, flee from one thing, but flee into the Lord. Flee into another. Flee into that place of righteousness and peace. And, you know, if we're tempted to be angry and tempted to be resentful, flee into the Lord. Don't stay and think over and over and over about those things. I had one thing in my life, and I want to tell you something the Lord just said to me a number of times. Don't think about it. Just don't think about it. You know, he never would give me any other answer. don't think about it. I wanted some other answers, and the Lord kept telling me, don't think about it. You know what? I found that's pretty wise of God. Put those things behind us. Young folks, flee. That is, seek safety by flight. Get out of the place. Get out of the situation. Get out of the relationship. Get out of the things that are going to pull us in. Because they will. And they'll deceive us. And just like Eve, we'll die. The Lord said, in the day you sin, you're going to die. Well, the devil said, you're surely not going to die. Don't believe the devil. Don't believe ourselves. He was a sinner from the beginning, a liar from the beginning, wasn't he? The devil was. Let's believe the Lord. Let's listen to him. He has good things in mind for your life and mine. Really good things. And so he says, take safety by flight. Get out of there. Get out of that place. Don't get close to it. Don't let it touch you. Don't listen to it. If you know it's wrong, don't listen to it. Don't look that way. Don't pass by that place. Deliver yourself while you can. Oh, the Lord wants us to do that this morning. There is a few things, folks, that the Lord has told us to flee from. But he didn't just tell us to flee. And I notice each time he says flee, it says, but follow righteousness, he says. Faith, charity. You want to make it? Then don't just flee and just fight and fight and fight. You will never win just playing defense. You must have an offensive behavior toward the enemy. You must have an offensive work to draw close to God. I'm going to draw close to the Lord. I want to give my life to him. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, what do you want in my life? How do you want me to do? Are you wanting this thing from me that I've been holding on to? Help me give it up. Start praying against yourself. You ever prayed against yourself? Lord, help me not to feel that way. Lord, help me not to think that way. Lord, help me. I know that you want me to have perfect love. And I've had to pray that way a number of times. Lord, I need your help. I'm the one standing in need. I need your help. I want that kind of perfect love. You know what? God wants to give us that. Flee into the things of the Lord. Faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. And listen to this. Anyway, it says, flee something else. Flee fornication. And it goes on to tell us some things. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There's damage done to us in these kind of sensual sins, folks, that are against ourselves. Did you know that? And so he tells us, flee by flight. Don't stick around. You notice Joseph in the scriptures? I'm preaching this because, folks, I believe it's important. I've been in the world long enough to know it's very important. And I feel like the Lord has given it to me. But you know what? Build some barriers. You know what Joseph did? He fled. She had his coat, but he was gone. He fled by flight. He got put in prison, but he saved his soul. You know what, folks? There's some fleeing that the Lord wants us to do by flight. We're not always. People are not strong, folks. We're not strong in these ways. When we get in these situations, folks, people are not strong. The Bible is full of proof of that. So don't let it be. And if you can't help it and it happens, God will protect you. I believe that fully. He does that, doesn't he? He builds a wall around his people that are serving him faithfully. Flee fornication. Build some barriers. You ever thought about that? Hide yourself from it. Don't get into compromising situations. Men and women. But men on your jobs. I just want to exhort us. And this is something I did. Don't get into compromising situations. Don't go to dinner with her just because she's your superior and wants to go to dinner with you. Folks, Brother Lauren Busby had, I loved his story. He worked at the Postal Service, and there was people that came in, and he had to eat dinner with them and things. But it was his resolve that he did not ever want to go and eat with just a woman of the opposite, with just one of the opposite sex. Now, folks, I know that to some this may seem that's silly, but I want to tell you something. If you want to keep your soul, you better be careful in this life. Because when emotions, feelings, and all of that get involved, people fail. People fail because the devil is there and he tempts. And so he says, flee fornication. Flee adultery. Flee those things. Set barriers. Don't get into compromising situations or spend time with people that you know can lead somewhere. And when you feel a tug or something, that's a place to draw a red line, isn't it? Not past here. We don't talk at all if you have to. Know the scriptures. Study the proverbs. Prepare yourself for these times. Know the proverbs. Do you know what the proverbs says, 6:23? For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. I want to tell you something. Early in my life I learned these scriptures, and they were a real blessing to me. And I've seen it over a number of times. A man brought down to a piece of bread. A man with dignity and life can be brought down to a piece of bread. And so know that. Know that. When Satan comes along, because I tell you, we live in a world that is on fire with everything that is sensual and evil. There are many things all over the place. And I want to encourage us today. I know that I'm speaking to people that live many righteous and godly lives here. But I want to tell you something. We better watch out and better be careful. And there's also in a mixed setting like this always those that maybe aren't saved or whatever. I don't know what the Lord has in mind, but I want to encourage us to run. In 1 Timothy 6:8, the scriptures tell us, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. We live in a society that is not content with what the normal things of life are. And I want to encourage us to hear the words of the scriptures. Folks, listen to the words of the scripture. He says here, he goes on to say, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I want to tell you something. The love of this world will drown us in destruction and perdition. If God decides to pour out his blessing upon what we have, as he did with Job, then great. But let's don't love it. And let's don't make it our life's aim and desire to have it. Because I want to tell you something. When we ought to be doing some things that build up the soul, we'll be doing other things that become a snare to us, that we can afford to do, we can have all those things. I want to tell you something. Those things are a snare many, many times. And what does Paul say? He says to flee by flight. That's what that word means. To flee. Don't try to just resist it and I'm going to love it, but I want to tell you something, folks. We live in a very affluent age. It is very easy for people to get wealth today. But I want to tell you something. Not often does it build up the spiritual man to be a giant and spiritually. Not often does it do that. The scriptures bear that out, and I've personally seen that. I want to tell you this morning, live for the Lord with everything that you have. But like he said to those young people, but follow righteousness and those things that are good and wholesome. Listen to this. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's many sorrows that come with the things of this life many times. But thou, O man of God, the same thing he said the other two times, flee this thing. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Is that okay? Is that okay to flee the one and follow the other with our whole heart? I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to follow pretty hard after the things of God. And I want to do that. I want to follow after those things and flee the love of this world. Seek safety by flight. We're going to read just a little bit more in 1 Corinthians 10 and 1. We find a little history lesson about the children of Israel. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You know, they all saw all that wonderful works of God and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. So I leave that with us this morning, maybe a little more here, but I leave that thought with us this morning. Folks, these things are written for our admonition, for our learning. The Lord wants to take you to heaven and me. That's why he sent his son to die for us and to pay with blood, that we might be able to be saved and that we would not be deceived by the winds that come and the things that come. You know, it said that he was displeased with many because they complained. Do you remember how they kept complaining? They kept doing those things, and God was displeased. This manna, we're sick of this manna. And they remembered the onions and the garlics that grew down by the river in Egypt. They remembered those good things. But they forgot that they killed their little boys. And they forgot about the torture of the strap on their back. And they forgot all the things that sin stole from them. Egypt is a type of sin. They forgot all those things. Folks, I want to go to heaven. And I want you to go too. And I know a bunch of us here really want to go to heaven, and we're willing to do it. Let's just take God's way all the way. Let's pay the price. Let's do our part and ask God for help to do His part. And I believe I say this, I'm pretty sure He'll do His part. I know He'll do His part, of course. Oh, the Lord wants us, folks, to not live as the world lives, but live in a way that the grace of God can bless our lives. You know, the Lord wants to use our lives. I thank God almost every Sunday, not because I like to preach, but I'm so thankful that I have a place to work for Him, that maybe we can influence a few others to take the way of God and take His way. Let's take the mind of Christ. We in our past, we had the same things others had, but oh, how the Lord wants to make our life new, and how He wants to make our life something valuable and rich, and how He wants us to experience many times with Him where He talks to us and He tells us His heart. Did you hear the song this morning? He was talking, wasn't He? Oh, we heard those beautiful words. Where we look out and we see the things His hand has created. And what can our heart do but sing How Great Thou Art? The Lord wants to talk to us again and again. He wants to lead us in paths of peace. He wants our hearts to not be full of the trouble and strife of this world, but full of the peace of God that we can serve and save others with. You pray for me. I want to be one of those. I long for the day. I long for the day to hear Him say, "Well done." I want to be faithful in this chapter, that it might be possible that when my day comes and the suffering is there and all those things, folks, whatever comes, I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to see His face in peace. You pray for me.